up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Heinous Beliefs, where we dig deep into true crime cases that are influenced by belief systems. I'm your host, and today we're unpacking one of the wildest cult stories, the tragic tale of Amy Carson and the Love Has Won movement. But before we get started, I gotta give a quick shout out to everyone tuning in. If you're here for the first time, hello, how are you? Thank you so much for tuning in. Please make sure to go listen to the other four episodes, or five episodes, I think. Make sure to catch up on the podcast. But if you've been here since episode one, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Y'all keep this podcast going with your support, your feedback, your shares, and I appreciate you more than you know. If you are listening for the first time, like I said earlier, and you're feeling this podcast, make sure you're sharing, make sure you're telling your family members, make sure you're telling your friends, make sure you're telling social media, whatever it is, okay? And that brings me to the disclaimer for this episode. We're talking cult, abuse, and death. So if that's too much for you, I totally understand. Catch us on the next one, okay? But if you're ready, let's get down this rabbit hole. Go ahead and get your coffee, get your tea, get your eyes in a row. Let's get into it. Picture this. You got a decent job, a family, some solid friends, and then one day you drop it all, follow someone who swears up and down that they're God in the flesh. Sounds wild, right? But that's exactly what happened with Amy Carson and her crew. Love Has Won cult. That's what they called them. It was a Love Has Won cult. This story is a crazy mix of New Age spirituality, off-the-wall conspiracy theories, and straight-up manipulation, leading to a tragic end that left people asking, how did it get this bad? It's easy to think, man, this could never be me. But history has shown time and time again that anyone, smart, successful, everyday folk, can get caught up in manipulation when the right buttons are pushed. And Amy, she wasn't just some random spiritual hippie stumbling her way into this movement. She knew exactly how to get into people's heads, how to make them feel like they were chosen for something bigger, and all that good stuff. Cult leaders don't just wake up one day and have power. They build their influence. They test people's limits. They figure out how to flip hope and fear into straight up control. And that's exactly why we're talking about this today. Amy Carson's story isn't just a bizarre footnote in history. It's a wake up call because these kinds of things are still happening today in 2025. Amy Carson was born on November 30th, 1975 in Dallas, Texas. Growing up, she was a bright student, active in her school's choir and known for being intelligent and ambitious. She had a pretty typical middle class upbringing, good grades, involved in activities, no major red flags. But if you ask people who knew her back then, they tell you that Amy had this kind of standout personality, right? She was a very outspoken person. She wasn't content with just blending in. She had a big personality and a habit of making sure that people noticed her. Even as a kid, she believed that she was meant for something bigger than the average life. And here is something that I will continue to say. A lot of these people that fall for this whole idea of a bigger world or like a spiritual world out there, just a lot of them are soaking in exceptionalism. And I'm not just only talking about the followers here. I'm also addressing the leaders, right? When we come up with these ideas on how to control people, how to get power, how to manipulate people, right? A lot of it is coming from their big ego, their big, you know, idea of what their life is supposed to look like and what they think the afterlife is supposed to be, right? No one's afterlife ever looks the same. It's always whatever makes that one individual comfortable, right? Whatever the story is to promote how special they are and how chosen they are. That's a pattern that I'm seeing in these quote-unquote cults, right? Even in mainstream religion today that we don't want to call cults, but somehow all fit the criteria of a cult. But, you know, don't ask me. As she moved into adulthood, things started to shift. She had three children with three different partners and worked a regular job as a McDonald's manager. Now, nothing went wrong working at McDonald's, but for someone who thought she was destined for greatness, This wasn't exactly the glamorous life she imagined. Around this time, she started getting deep into New Age spirituality. And I don't mean reading horoscopes or lighting some incense. I mean fully immersing herself in the world of energy healing, past lives, and divine ascension. She spent hours on forums like lightworkers.org, where people talked about channeling spirits, cosmic energies, and hidden universe truths. And it was there she met a guy named Armis White Eagle. Now, this dude wasn't just some casual spiritualist, okay? He was deep into the whole you're a divine being ideology. He even convinced Amy that she wasn't just another person on a spiritual journey. She was literally Mother God, the one and only divine being in human form, sent to Earth to guide people to enlightenment. And Amy, well, she ate that shit up, okay? By late 2007, she made a drastic decision. She left her entire life behind. She had three children, a job, everything. She left it behind. She packed up and moved to Colorado to join White Eagle. White Eagle was also known as Father God. Fully embracing the idea that she was a physical embodiment of God, this was the true beginning of what would eventually turn into Love Has Won movement. Now, this is where things take a turn. At first, Amy was just another person on a spiritual quest, but over time, she became obsessed with the idea that she was special, she was divine, she was chosen. She is God. This is how the movement started. This is how the cult started. Initially called the Galactic Federation of Light, the group started small, operating mainly through online forums and social media before gaining the world's traction. Pause. This group started off as the Galactic Federation of Light. And this is why I say I should never be in the cult. Because the minute you tell me that name, I'm going to burst out laughing. I will burst out laughing right in your face. I'm like, what did you say that is called again? The Galactic Federation of Light? That's what you're calling it? That I will never let that go. Even though I was forced to stay there, if I ever got to know that name and I just knew at some point that they went by the Galactic Federation of Light, I will clown every single one of them. Okay? Every single one of those cult members. You will be clowned. Galactic Federation of Light? I'm done. How do y'all fall for this stuff? What? Anyway, now fully embodying her self-proclaimed title as Mother God, claimed to have lived 134 lifetimes. Okay, this woman is claiming to have been reincarnated 534 times, including Jesus, Cleopatra, Marilyn Monroe, and Harriet Tubman. Yep, she insisted that she was a divine creator of all beings, all existence, and promised to lead 144,000 chosen people into a higher dimension where suffering, illness, and negativity wouldn't exist. If you are a higher being, a divine being, and you had the power to create this world where all of these things were not, you know, an issue, no suffering, no disease, no illnesses, why would you create this one first? What, can we go through the thought process of this one, right? Because it's the same regurgitated nonsense, right? Because this is the same thing in the Bible. It's the same thing in the Quran. It's the same idea of this chosen few people, this exceptionalism nonsense, right? Where now there's a select few of people that somehow are just chosen by this being that now are going to be taken from this horrible world to a better one where there's no suffering. But all you have to do is believe that I'm God and do everything that I say, even though I'm human just like you. Okay, now this wasn't just some casual spirituality meetup. This was a full-fledged movement. They blended New Age mysticism with hardcore conspiracy theories. The group believed that the world government, doctors, mainstream religions were corrupt and designed to keep humanity in a state state of low vibration, but you think you're doing something different? Okay. They also pushed wild claims like Amy had the power to heal diseases. This woman apparently was performing spiritual surgeries that could cure things like cancer, like maybe MS or something like that. She was performing spiritual surgeries for $80 a pop. And if all of that does not sound ridiculous, well, there were people ready and willing to believe it. Amy didn't just wake up one day and decide to be a cult leader. She was good at reading people. She had this uncanny ability to make her followers feel special, like they had a purpose bigger than themselves. And if someone doubted her, she flipped the script. Instead of arguing, she'll say negative energy was holding them back from enlightenment. Now, we all know that's classic manipulation, right? If you disagree, then you're the problem, not the person feeding you the nonsense. And that's what made her so dangerous. Amy had a gift of blending just enough truth into her message to make it feel legit. She took ideas that were already circulating, energy healing, past lives, divine ascension, and then sprinkled in just enough outrageous claims to keep people hooked. It was like a spiritual conspiracy smoothie, okay? Part self-help, part science fiction, and 100% designed to make people dependent on her. The thing is, cults don't work unless they fulfill a need. And Amy's group, it gave people something to belong to. Some of her followers were lost, struggling, and looking for meaning to their lives. They weren't dumb. They were desperate. And when people are desperate for answers, sometimes you don't stop to question where they're coming from, even though they're not really answers, though, sometimes, you know? They're just things that put your brain on a pause, but you accept that as an answer. Amy claimed to have a direct line to a team of celestial beings she called the Galactic, who, according to her, guided her mission on Earth. But here's where it got even crazier. She insisted that some of these spirit guides included deceased celebrities like Robin Williams and John Lennon. Yeah, you heard me right. The group also bought into fringe theories and some lost ancient civilizations like Lemuria and Atlantis, believing that they remained as part of the golden age of humanity. They'd been somehow deliberately erased by other celestial beings. I don't know what that means, honestly. Like, y'all will cook up anything to sound important. They fully subscribe to the idea that a global cabal, some shadowy element group, was working to suppress human consciousness and keep people trapped in a cycle of suffering. Right. Okay. That just sounds like another spiritual battle, right? When we're in church and stomping our feet. God, fight my battle. Fight. What battle? You've never seen this enemy before. What battle are you fighting? Anyway, essentially, anything that went against their belief, whether it was modern medicine, history, or even common sense, was written off as a lie, designed to keep people in low vibrational states. And if this wasn't enough, they pushed the idea that COVID-19 was a hoax, vaccines were dangerous, and major world events were orchestrated by evil forces to maintain control over the masses. Some members even questioned the Holocaust, aligning themselves with some of the most dangerous and deeply harmful misinformation out there. This is where things got real dangerous. People who fall into these belief systems often start by simply questioning mainstream narratives, right? But over time, they can become completely cut off from reality. That's what belief does to you. It takes you away from reality. They isolate themselves from family and friends who don't share their views, reject science and medical care, and become entirely dependent on their leaders for quote-unquote truth. Once this happens, it's impossible to pull them back from reality. Life in Love Has One was anything but peaceful. This wasn't some Zen spiritual retreat. It was a full-on control game. Members were kept under strict rules, running on barely 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night because Amy preached that sleep wasn't necessary, right? And this is out of the playbook. This is a tactic that cult leaders usually use, because when you don't get sleep, you're more susceptible to suggestions. When you don't get sleep, your brain has not rested enough to make logical decisions. It's very easy to be manipulated when you're exhausted, right? If you are not getting enough sleep and someone is there telling you that you're greater, you need to do XYZ to fulfill some kind of nonsense prophecy, you are more susceptible to that. And they know that. That's why they make sure that these people are drained of energy. They're tired all the time. They're usually on some kind of hallucinogenic or another, right? There's always something to induce those hallucinations. There's always something to induce that mental psychosis that we see a lot of these people in. And they do it on purpose. They induce these mental strains on your brain on purpose. She convinced them that resting was a TB construct, quote unquote. If you got tired, that was just low vibration energy. You're not supposed to be tired, even though you're exhausted and running off of 4 to 5 hours of sleep, right? And that's being generous. And you needed to push through it. Meanwhile, Amy was out here taking long naps and waking up to scream at her followers for not working hard enough. Let's talk about money, okay? How did that money? Running a cult is not cheap, and Amy has to keep the cash flowing. Love has won, pulled in money through online donations, live streams, and selling completely bogus spiritual services, like the spiritual surgery I was telling you guys about that was $80 a pop. Yeah. And the catch? It cost hundreds of dollars for a service that literally did not exist. What the people would get was a live stream that claimed they were performing these quote-unquote surgeries remotely, waving their hands in the air while their followers sent money. Amy was also pushing something called colloidal silver. I don't necessarily know how to say that word correctly, but if you know how to say it, you correct it in your mind, okay? They were selling this as a miracle cure for everything from depression to COVID-19. Problem is, too much of that stuff can literally turn your skin blue and cause irreversible damage to your organs. But did Amy care? No. She was making money, and that was all that mattered. And then we got to talk about Amy's drinking. Listen, this wasn't just a casual glass of wine at dinner. Amy was drinking all the time. She would down a bottle of vodka like water to the point where she would slur her words and completely unhinged. Some ex-members said she got to the point of insanity, using profanity, lace insults, tearing into followers, humiliating them, and even getting physically abusive. Some former members claimed she would slap and push people who, quote-unquote, disrespected her energy. Others were allegedly locked up in closets, forced to sit outside in freezing cold, or made to kneel for hours as quote-unquote punishment. But to the people still under her spell, that wasn't abuse. That was tough love, a test to prove that Mother God was helping them evolve and purge their negative energy. And the worst part? Some followers actually believed it. By early 2021, Amy Carson's health was visibly failing. She had lost significant weight. Her skin had taken a bluish tint due to the prolonged ingestion of the silver I was talking about, and she was barely able to function. Yet, her followers still insisted she was in a process of ascending, and her physical suffering was merely proof that her spiritual power was real. Oh my goodness. I can't do it. You're literally watching her deteriorate in front of you, and you're still coming up with some kind of, yeah, no, this is fine. It's not really her dying. She's not really human. She's going to come back in the spiritual. Like, come on now. Her health was deteriorated so much that according to some reports, she became completely bedridden in her final days. Amy was last seen in April of 2021. Then on the 28th of April, 2021, the police in Moffat, Colorado, received a tip from a former member that something sinister had happened inside the group's residence. When the officers arrived, what they found shot them to the core. Amy's body was discovered mummified, wrapped in a sleeping bag, adorned with Christmas lights, and placed in what appeared to be a makeshift shrine. Her face had been covered in glitter, and her remains were already decomposing. Okay, at this point, her eyes were gone. There were no eyes. Her teeth, like, so visible, it looked like they physically pushed back her lips, and they couldn't even identify her. That's how much decomposition was happening, okay? They couldn't identify her at first because she was that far gone. Some reports suggest that her followers may have removed her eyes themselves. No one really knows what happened to them. I don't know whether intentionally or for some ritual. I don't know. Seven members of the Love Has Won community were arrested on the scene. The charges were abuse of a corpse and child abuse. Since two minors were found in the living room with Amy's deceased body. But here's where things get really frustrating. Despite the absolute madness of this scene, no one was charged with homicide. The autopsy later revealed that Amy had died from a combination of alcohol abuse, anorexia, and poisoning from ingesting all that silver. Her organs were shutting down day by day, and she was in horrible condition before she passed. And yet, her followers let it happen. They watched her deteriorate because they thought she was going to be ascending and coming back later in some spiritual form. Okay, they were telling reporters and police that this was just a physical manifestation of what was happening in the spiritual world. And she wasn't really dead. She wasn't really gone. This was just something that was part of the process of ascension. Again, y'all, I don't know how people hear stuff like this and believe it. That is why I'm studying psychology, because I really want to know how people are able to just believe things. Like, how does the brain just, you know, just accept these things? How come there's not enough pushback for someone to be like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. I should probably not be watching someone die. I should probably not be sitting here while someone is literally deteriorating in my face. And maybe I should call the police. Maybe I should say something about this. Maybe there's actually not a spiritual realm if I'm watching her in my presence die. I don't know, you guys. I might sound harsh when I talk about these things, but this is a genuine question. I honestly want to know, right? How do people believe these things? I understand how a child can believe that Santa is real. I get it, right? I understand how children believe fairy tales. But these are adults. Where does your brain stop thinking? At what point does your brain just say, okay, reality is no longer reality. This other world that only exists in my head is what I'm going to follow. Especially when the world has to be concocted by another human being, right? At this point, what you're believing is not even just about you, because I don't even want to go on just Amy at this point, because Amy started this and had people follow her because they believed what she was saying, right? That's all it takes. All it takes is for you to believe it. So if you're able to believe something hard enough, where you're watching a child die, you're watching people die in front of you, you're watching someone's health deteriorate, and just because they tell you to believe something, you stop questioning. That's the part that I don't understand. That's the part that I don't get. And this is even different because now this is the leader. This is your leader. Why wouldn't you want to know why your leader, a god, would have to go through this very human-like process? Like, this is quite literally in reality, in real time. You're watching her slip away, but there's just that block there. That's what I want to understand. I have questions. And like I said earlier, you find that exceptionalism usually has a very strong hold on these people. The story of Amy Carson and the Love Has Won community serves as a chilling reminder of how charismatic leaders can manipulate belief systems, leading followers down a dangerous, 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 dangerous path. This uncovers the importance of critical thinking and the need to question those who claim to have divine authority. We've seen over time, time and time again, manipulation of beliefs can be devastating to everyone around you. Not just you, it can have devastating consequences to so many people, not just for the followers, but for the society at large, for your family, for your friends, for people that have to watch you go through this thing just off of something that you believe in. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining me on this deep dive into the tragic tale of Amy Clarkson and the Love Has Won cult. If you found this episode interesting, please make sure to like, share, and follow whatever podcast platform you listen to the podcast on. I appreciate y'all so much. Stay tuned for next episode on Friday. And don't forget, we're going to be having subscriptions really soon. And the subscriptions give you access to the Discord, and you get to have 2 episodes a week instead of one. You're going to get an episode on Wednesday and an episode on Friday. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for listening again. I really appreciate y'all. Bye. Thank you.